An Irish Independent digital subscription doesn't just get you the news. It gets you the best of Ireland's stories all in one place. Whether it's the best of politics, business, sport, entertainment or lifestyle. Get it all for just €4 a month for 12 months when you first subscribe. Visit independent.ie/subscribe today. Irish Independent. Terms and conditions apply. Cancel anytime.
On this week's Big Tech Show, when you travel, how do you avoid getting completely ripped off on roaming charges outside of Europe? And what are some of the travel hacks you should know about that aren't included in the tech you buy? We give you all the tips you need to know.
On top of my list, Adrian, is my noise-cancelling headphones. When I put them on, I love that it just goes boom, and you're in this kind of sonic bubble and you can't hear the baby and you can't hear that weird frequency of the aircon on the airplane.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by trichologist Claire Fulham, chatting all things hair loss.
I remember then going, I'm losing a bit more hair, like I could see hair everywhere. It was all over my desk and work everywhere. And so I went to my GP. She found 5 big patches on my scalp, one the size of my fist. So I was like, right, what am I going to do about this? Give me a plan. She just looked me dead in the eye and said, there's nothing you can do. I went on list for dermatologists. She had a cancellation and she very quickly said, yes, you have alopecia areata.
As ever, available on all podcast platforms.
Sir Geoffrey Donaldson has resigned as leader of the DUP. It comes after he was charged with historical sex offences. A 57-year-old woman has also been charged in connection with the alleged offences. Northern Ireland politics and the DUP have now been thrown into disarray. Sam McBride, our Northern Ireland editor, joins me to discuss this breaking story. Sam, before we discuss the extraordinary nature of this story, can we say what has happened?
Well, as you say there, Kieran, this is a breathtaking development. Frankly, I can't think of anything in the history of Northern Irish politics which comes anywhere close to this in terms of its specific nature, in terms of how quickly it has developed, and in terms of its wider implications potentially for unionism. This story emerged at the end of last night, towards midnight, and the first hint of it was that Sir Geoffrey Donaldson deleted his social media accounts. He deleted his Twitter account, he deleted his Facebook account, LinkedIn, various things. They all went. I think his website went as well. There was also a story which came out last night from the Daily Mirror in Northern Ireland, and it said that a 61-year-old man who was not named was charged with serious sexual offences. There were also charges against a 57-year-old woman. And people started to put two and two together because that is Geoffrey Donaldson's age. And there was then this fevered period of speculation late last night, particularly early this morning and throughout today, until we got to about 1 o'clock, where the DUP announced that he had stepped aside as leader. I wakened up this morning, there were messages on my phone, not just from people involved in politics, but people who are friends of mine, people who have no particular close interest in politics, saying, is this true? What's going on? This was a story which had really snowballed in a very short space of time. There hadn't, as far as I'm aware, been the slightest hint or the slightest whisper of this prior to late last night. So this has really caused enormous shock within politics, but far, far beyond politics in Northern Ireland.
So as you say, so Geoffrey Donaldson's social media accounts are gone. The DUP had, we understand, an emergency meeting this morning, and they have indicated, they put out a statement saying that they had received a letter from Sir Geoffrey Donaldson confirming that he has been charged with allegations of an historical nature and indicating that he's stepping down as leader of the Democratic Unionist Party with immediate effect. As you say, this is an absolute political earthquake, and it's very difficult. It's a very, very difficult situation for the Democratic Unionist Party and its officers.
Oh, it's completely dreadful. I mean, this was a party which, to an extent, has been on the back foot, if you like, for the last few weeks, because you have Geoffrey Donaldson, who has made this deal with the British government to get Stormont back, to soften the Irish Sea border, but not to get rid of it. But he's been going out there overselling that deal. He's been saying it swept away the sea border. There has been a lot of pushback within the party on that from some DUP supporters. He had made this work, and there was no doubt that he was carrying the vast bulk of his party with him, but there were senior people who were opposed to that. So it was a difficult position to begin with. To then lose your leader in any circumstances would be remarkable. To lose your leader in these circumstances is beyond calculation, frankly. This leaves the DUP in a state of deep crisis. It has an unelected First Minister, Emma Little-Pengelly. She is in the Assembly as an MLA because Geoffrey Donaldson didn't want to take his seat. It now has the question marks over whether Geoffrey Donaldson will stay as an MP at Westminster. If he doesn't, there will be a Lygon Valley by-election. That will be very tricky, not just because of the nature of how he would be stepping down from that seat, but because there is this latent internal opposition within a section of unionism against this deal. By-elections, as we know, are always difficult for big parties. They are the places where people can rebel, they can express themselves forcefully. But even if that doesn't happen, we know that a Westminster general election is at most just a few months away. This is a dreadful position from which to contest that election. They're going to now have a new leader. They've got Gavin Robinson, who has been deputy leader, not for very long, but has been deputy leader. He's the natural successor here. He's very capable. He's somebody who certainly could handle himself very well in live TV debates, in things of that nature, in a campaign. He's seasoned. He's been Lord Mayor of Belfast. He's been a Stormont special advisor. He's been at Westminster for many years now. However, this was not something that he was in any way expecting. He's been thrown into this, and he comes from the same side of the party as Geoffrey Donaldson. That's very significant because it means there'll be no change of course here in terms of their party politics. They're not going to be changing policy. There's not going to be any question over Stormont falling again. However, it means that any of those elements of what Sir Geoffrey Donaldson said about his deal, which were unpopular, which were coming under close scrutiny, this is a new leader, if you like, who is very much shackled to those positions. He's not going to be able to say, well, that was Donaldson, I'm a different person. He and Donaldson were joined at the hip on this deal.
Could this affect politics more widely? Because let's not forget, I mean, Northern Ireland's politics was in complete stasis, complete crisis, until just a few weeks ago, until Geoffrey Donaldson's deal. So I wonder, well, it's clearly a situation we weren't expecting, but I wonder, is this a blow to Stormont that we weren't expecting?
Well, certainly this makes the stance of the DUP in Stormont more difficult. There's no doubt about that. They have thrown themselves into it. We're back to, you know, almost Chuckle Brothers Mark II, for people who can recall Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness roaring with laughter side by side, really deciding, look, we're going to make this work and we're going to absolutely throw the kitchen sink at it. There'll be no sort of grudging acceptance of ruling with Sinn Féin. We're going to throw ourselves into it. That's what Emma Little-Pengelly and Michelle O'Neill have been doing. They've done it very successfully thus far. They've really impressed a lot of very skeptical people who thought that this wouldn't happen, couldn't happen, that it wouldn't last. And here we are, weeks into this, and it's still going on. Suddenly, that's more difficult. All those smiling photo opportunities now have got this extra element to them. Potential questions about what's happening in the DUP, and potential questions about Emma Little-Pengelly's position, about Geoffrey Donaldson's position as an MP, about where this leaves the DUP. But I don't think we should exaggerate what this means for Stormont. I think Stormont now is pretty secure for the reason that from the DUP's perspective, they have made their political bed and they're going to have to lie in it. There is no alternative. You cannot walk out of Stormont now without completely imploding. This party has decided that it's going with it and it's got to make it work. It's in too far to back out. Where this does of wider significance, I think, is in what it means for wider unionism. Because Geoffrey Donaldson was not just the leader of the DUP, he was the leader of unionism. And that, if you like, had responsibilities which stretched beyond his narrow party political interest. He is now fallen as the leader of unionism. Gavin Robinson has been thrust into that position. He actually might potentially be a better person for that role than Geoffrey Donaldson was. But enormous difficulties here in terms of how that has come about. Again, unionism here is associated with scandal, with chaos, with dysfunction. That is true of the DUP as well. And so out of this, I suppose, comes this picture of a deeply dysfunctional political party, a party which has not moved as far beyond the chaos of 2-3 years ago when it was defenestrating leader after leader, has not moved anywhere near as far beyond that as lots of people perhaps thought it had.
Sam, because Jeffrey Donaldson has been charged and because there's a looming court case, and because of the nature, I suppose, of society, these kind of allegations are not normally politically exploited by your opponents. The TUV have put out a statement, and perhaps it might be described by some as quite opportunistic, quite surprising in the circumstances.
Well, I mean, I think that everybody is going to be cautious about what they say about this, me included, for good reason. You will see lots of stuff floating about in the internet. People listening to this might wonder why we're not talking about this or talking about that. There are very good legal and indeed moral reasons why we're not doing that. There are live charges now before a court. Those have to run their course for justice to be done. We can't interfere in that in any way. There are strict rules, both in terms of being in contempt of court if we were to do something which could in any way prejudice a future trial, but also in terms of the libel laws. These are very serious matters. They're now in the form of charges, which the police have brought. That is significant. That's why Jeffrey Donaldson has done what he has done. It's why the DUP has not just accepted him stepping down, but they have now suspended him from membership of the party. But these are charges. He is innocent until proven guilty, if that ever happens. That is the law. That is the legal position. And so, yes, Jim Allister, who, of course, in a previous career was a criminal defence QC, somebody who knows the criminal law very well. He is, yes, exploiting this politically, you could say, but he's being careful in what he says here as well legally. He knows, I suppose, that there are certain things that he can say and there are certain things which he cannot say. What he is trying to get across is that this is damaging his party. Well, that's true. He's trying to link this to Jeffrey Donaldson's deal on the protocol on the Irish Sea border. He's trying to say that this undermines that deal. To an extent, that is a legitimate political thing to say. I think factually that probably is correct. But I think that to go much beyond that would be seen as unseemly. It would be seen as legally risky. And so therefore, these are charges. These are allegations. A court will decide what actually happened here. And in terms of that element of this, that's really about as far as we can go right now.
And we as journalists, and we've pointed this out on this podcast before, alleged crimes of a sexual nature and the status of victims of these crimes are a case apart, and there are many laws regarding how these things can be reported and restrictions around those. But those do not just apply to people like yourself and myself, Sam. They apply to everyone, and it's very important to point out to people that the law does apply to you. It applies to your Facebook account, to your WhatsApp account, and as well as that, there are laws regarding contempt of court, and as well as risking the danger of upsetting the natural legal course of what has to happen now, there people could get themselves in trouble as well, and they have to remember that.
Yeah, look, I mean, anyone listening to this who is at all unsure about what they can say about this should frankly say nothing about it. And that's not because I don't believe in free speech. I do. It's not because you can't say anything about this. You can. But if you're not sure, you should err on the side of caution. If you go onto any internet search engine and you search for the rules on contempt of court, you will find some helpful advice from the British Attorney General. There are lots of things that will help you as to what you can and can't say here. But in simple terms, you could go to jail if a court decides that you have disrupted the process of justice. Now, that's very serious for you. It's much more serious for the effort to get justice for the person who has made this complaint. The police have looked at this. They've said that they believe that these charges should be brought. A court will look at that. It will take a view on that, and it will ultimately decide if this should go to trial. Anything that undermines that could be risky for individuals themselves, but far more serious, it could undermine the right to a fair trial, and that's sacrosanct. So we can talk a lot about the politics of this, but if anybody's wondering why we're being cautious about talking around some of the legal elements of this, that's why, and it's for very, very good reason.
Well, let me just finish by saying that detectives from the PSNI arrested and charged a 61-year-old man for non-recent sexual offences. A 57-year-old woman was also arrested in connection with those offences. Both are due to appear before Newry Magistrates Court on the 24th of April. Sam McBride, thank you very much for your time on this extraordinary day.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave, 1919, 1920. There's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.